the house at this time. The Honorable Alvin Arulong.
As I stand, I wish to take one moment to make my contribution to the appropriation bill as presented by the Minister of Finance and the Honorable Prime Minister. Before I do this, Mr. Speaker, I want to thank God for strength and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to Him, my Creator God. As well, I want to thank the people of Babylon for their continued support and for confidence in me. We are known as the Ridge of Good Water. This is what Babylon means, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank my staff at the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Health Task Force, and of course, the sons and daughters of St. Lucia for the encouragement and prayers. Mr. Speaker, as I declared earlier that I too wish to add my support to the appropriation bill delivered by the Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, I exhale. Mr. Speaker, the people of St. Helen exhale. The sons and daughters of this nation exhale. We can breathe. We can move. We can live again. Mr. Speaker, I exhale and I feel excited for St. Helen because of the policy statements which have been pronounced by the Minister for Finance and the Honorable Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, you see, I too embrace the concept, the philosophy, the dream of better days, better weeks, better months, and better years. I embrace the concept, the philosophy, the dream of a better nation, stronger families and stronger communities, safer communities. You see, Mr. Speaker, I took a pledge on behalf of the families of this nation. Mr. Speaker, it was on Sunday, March 7, 2010, at an International Women's Day rally in Babylon, where the theme was, there must be another way, a better way. Mr. Speaker, at that rally, which was attended by my colleagues sitting here, I led them to taking a pledge. And the pledge reads, Mr. Speaker, and I wish to quote part of this pledge, written by Dr. Maya Angelou. We pledge to embrace our lowliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, to do all things good, knowing that we are more than just the keepers of our brothers and sisters. Mr. Speaker, we are brothers and sisters. And so, on behalf of all of this country, we on this side, whether I forced them or not, I'm not sure, but I took the pledge, and they took that pledge with me, to care for the people of this nation. And so this is why, Mr. Speaker, I exhale today. Mr. Speaker, the policies and programs and initiatives rolled out by the Minister of Finance aim to do just that, to educate, to feed directly and indirectly, to clothe, to embrace, to keep company, to empower. This is what this appropriation bill and this address was about, the policy targeting the most vulnerable in our society. But Mr. Speaker, apart from the most vulnerable, it targets the entire population. there will be a positive impact on the lives of every saint Lucian, and especially special interest groups. Mr. Speaker, when I reflect on NICE, the National Initiative to Create Employment, apart from creating employment, let's ask that which I really embrace, Mr. Speaker, is the part where it's a home care program, where we care for our elderly. We clean, we cook, we do the laundry, we feed them. And we know, as the elderly, they need the proper diet, Mr. Speaker, the medication, the exercise, they need protection, Mr. Speaker. They need to keep company with someone. Lest they begin to suffer from mental illness and loneliness and depression. Their physical, psychological, emotional, social and spiritual needs will be met through that program, Mr. Speaker. And so, as the Minister for Human Services, responsible for the vulnerable persons, the elderly, I embrace this program, Mr. Speaker. And also too, Mr. Speaker, it has the ability to bridge that generation gap, depending on some of the younger ones who take up such responsibilities, such forms of employment. They can bridge that generation gap because our elderly folks, Mr. Speaker, they are like libraries. They have so much to share, so much to teach. We need to give our young people such opportunities to work with them and learn from them. Mr. Speaker, the program to support the sporting initiative, to develop the skills, to develop discipline and balance in the school curriculum, is not only the employment, but what it aims to do, Mr. Speaker. The teaching assistant, Mr. Speaker, during my time teaching in the UK, I used to wonder why teachers needed the assistant, because there was not much to do sometimes as a teacher in the UK. But when you have a large class of 35 students in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, and you have children with mild, moderate learning difficulties, you have children with emotional and behavioral difficulties, they need time out, they need time to cope with their stresses. Mr. Speaker, now we see teaching assistants under this program coming through to the school system. I say bravo, Mr. Speaker. And we would know about that because we know we are educators on this side. We came from the education sector. And we are looking down the line as to how to get our students to focus and to enjoy learning. Mr. Speaker, SMILES program, the project targeting mothers, single mothers, and as the debate goes on, I will try to define single mothers and fathers. I will not ask the minister, the rep for Catholic East, to define single mothers, but we shall find a way. But we are thankful, Mr. Speaker, because the program includes ICT, auto skills. I am particularly impressed with the parenting skills, Mr. Speaker. We know we have young parents, young mothers, and it is a huge responsibility to raise children in such days, such times. These are tough times, Mr. Speaker. Apart from that, Mr. Speaker, the life skills of effective communication, self-esteem, responsibility, budgeting, nutrition. The women of Babylon need this. Women around St. Lucia need this kind of support. And this program will do that. Will assist them in this regard, Mr. Speaker. It will help also, it mentions that it will help create job attachments and job placements. But I want to ask further that our young mothers be taught or encouraged to create their own employment. Because you see, Mr. Speaker, our people are so well-skilled. They need help to manage their own businesses. They can become managers. Beautiful thing, a group of single women, single mothers, coming together and forming their own company. And this can happen because we have that technical support. We have well-skilled and knowledgeable persons within our public sector who can guide them in this regard. Mr. Speaker, on page 58, I wish to refer to the Youth Agricultural Entrepreneurship Program, and it speaks to areas of Mabuya Valley, mainly to the south, Mr. Speaker. But I wish to speak on behalf of the north. I know we're starting in the south, but I speak of the north, specifically Babuna. You see, Mr. Speaker, we too have land, agricultural land in Babuna, in Debara, in Fokako, in Canel, in Kaides, all over the constituency. So we'll be coming, and the Minister of Agriculture has assured me that this will be rolled out in Babuna, and I'm thankful. So I say no more. Mr. Speaker, there are young people, however, in Babuna who have the land, and they would need some other resources, the finance, the technical support, the help of the extension officers, to help them start the business. And I applaud this initiative. The young men and women who are interested in agriculture are waiting to appeal, and they will very soon. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Finance highlighted relief measures. The relief to customers of WASCO. Mr. Speaker, let me share with you a little situation that started in Cabinet but ended up affecting the whole of St. Lucia. You see, Mr. Speaker, a few weeks ago, the Minister for Sustainable Development came to Cabinet and expressed his concern about the level of water at the John Compton Dam. And there's nothing that WASCO could do, so he asked the Cabinet to pray. So, Mr. Speaker, the prayer warriors in the Cabinet got to work. But I think the Minister forgot to say how long to pray. And so the warriors prayed, and they prayed, see, Mr. Speaker, what happened for the past few days. So I am saying to the prayer warriors here, we can stop praying for the rain and just ask everything in moderation. In the absence of the Minister of Sustainable Development, I can say, let us relax on the prayer for the rain, but ask for other things. I'm getting back to WASCO, Mr. Speaker. So we're not worried about water now. But people in Babuna are not worried about water. But a few of them are. And I'll tell you why. And I do, on page 34 and 35, I'm very pleased at what I've seen, Mr. Speaker. The 3 points, customers with illegal connections, but it exists in your WASCO account, focus. Persons with illegal connections, but no WASCO account. And customers that are being charged for water supply that they either frequently or rarely receive. Okay. Mr. Speaker, I wish to add to that a fourth one. Potential customers who are refused connection because the lands on which their homes are located, they do not own those lands. And so they are refused connection. And we have a large number in my constituency, Mr. Speaker. So this is one area I know that as government, we will try to venture into to find a solution to this problem, Mr. Speaker. But I do appreciate the fact that we are looking into getting relief measures for the customers of WASCO and as well as the company that's in serious, serious trouble. I'm also concerned about the persons who are refused connection because I'm concerned as to where they collect their water if they cannot afford to purchase different pieces that they need to store their water. Where do they get their water from? Is it from the rivers? And as we know the problem of pesticides running off into the rivers, weedicides and so on, I am a little concerned, Mr. Speaker, and I want to see how quickly we can address this matter. I want these two to exist. So we need to look at this, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move to another policy statement or programs as it pertains to agriculture. Mr. Speaker, I have a great deal of respect and admiration for farmers in this country, and particularly the farmers of Babylon. You see, Mr. Speaker, our farmers work hard. They make sacrifices. They continue to struggle day in and day out. And on top of that, Mr. Speaker, they are very generous. I can speak for the farmers from Babylon and maybe from Choiseul. I imagine all of St. Lucia. They are very generous, Mr. Speaker. And I'm sure the Minister for Agriculture can attest to that. Just visit the farmers any day on their farms and you will leave with some goods, Mr. Speaker, free of charge. Free of charge. So, Mr. Speaker, maybe one of these days you may accompany the minister or my constituency and you will see what I'm speaking about. Though they go through rough times, they are still generous, Mr. Speaker. And I'm very disappointed. I am, put it mildly, I will have respect in this honorable house, Mr. Speaker. I am so disappointed in what has happened to our farmers. They've been through a desert experience. No oasis. Nowhere to collect water. And I'm not speaking of water. I'm speaking of their lifetime experiences. Mr. Speaker, in the social, economic and social review, Mr. Speaker, I want to reflect on this a little bit. From pages 24 from 22 to 24, Mr. Speaker, speaks of agriculture. And it reflects on page 23, rising input costs, widespread infestation of black sickle disease, and limited access to affordable credit were also responsible for the outturn in the agriculture sector. Second paragraph. The recovery of the industry was further undermined by a number of challenges, including high and rising input costs, pest infestation, loss of farmer confidence, and limited access to affordable finance. Mr. Speaker, it speaks of large banana producing regions like Roseau and Mabea Valley being badly affected. Did they not see that? Were they not aware? The unavailability of fungicides to combat and avert the further spread of the disease compounded the situation. Did they not see that? Did they not care? Farmers abandoning their farms were disenfranchised by the financially strapped farmers. We harvest well, and everything was from us. Every problem in the agricultural sector as it pertains to crops was from us. Mr. Speaker, input, limited access to affordable financing, widespread infestation, blockage of access roads, pest infestation, unavailability of fungicides to combat and avert further spread of the disease and to stop it all. Loss of farmer confidence. Mr. Speaker, I ask a question. Why was this allowed to happen? Mr. Speaker, there was so much borrowing taking place in the previous administration. There were friendly governments, like the government of Taiwan, giving U.S. $1 million a year to certain parliamentarians per year. for constituencies. Like Babano, constituency. Mr. Speaker, Babano is an agrarian community. I could understand Newport North would not have this million US and Sucre, but Babano got this $1 million a year for 5 years. Why was this allowed to happen to my farmers of Babano?
Honourable Member, I think you're being corrected. It's 1 million EC.
1 million EC. EC? Being corrected? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this information we shall look into because I have others. But thank you, nonetheless, for the correction. I'm sure it came from on this side. So, Mr. Speaker, my question is, could there not be a plan designed and implemented to address this problem on behalf of the farmers? Should we have allowed our farmers to lose confidence in the government, in the ministry, and the persons who were voted in to take care of their needs, their interests? Couldn't something have been done? Mr. Speaker, up to this week, I met a farmer and he said to me, and they have complained to the minister as well, that the banks are calling. The banks are calling them and the fields are there waiting for some support, but there is hope and help on the horizon. The farmers will exhale. Mr. Speaker, the Minister for Finance identified the plans to respond and manage the black sticker poker. Mr. Speaker, page 44. And it speaks to training of farmers to use and to maintain equipment for leaf spot control. Safe use of pesticides. Mr. Speaker, the STEP program to help farmers on their fields. I'm coming back, Mr. Speaker. We have here on page 44, provision of fertilizers for adequate plant nutrition, the distribution of spray materials to farmers for fungus control, as well as the cutting of abandoned fields, Mr. Speaker. Health is on its way to the farmers to boost their confidence once again so they can produce some more, because we know we need healthy food, we need fresh food, but more than that, we need to see economic activity in this country. And when we abandon the farmers, we are in trouble. Mr. Speaker, never in the history of this country have I heard of government employing workers on a national level to assist farmers to clear their fields in perpetuity. Never. This is historical. This government cares. It's a government of the people, for the people. They are restoring farmers' confidence. Mr. Speaker, we have no choice. This must happen. We need the banana industry. We cannot go on without it. So, Mr. Speaker, to my farmer, who's a farmer, Babono, a Marquis, a Fokani, look at it, Chebe Fall, Palmoli, Figla Festano Mem, Nukai Podri Accord, I say to them, there will be better fields. See, Mr. Speaker, they take the word better days and throw it all over the place. But this better, that concept is broader than just better days. It means better fields, better production, better people. That's what it means. When you talk about better days, we're talking about better resources. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister highlighted policies and capital initiatives under road infrastructure. You can see in page 46, road rehabilitation and road construction. And these are some of the areas I want to speak to before I move into the area of healthcare. I wish to applaud this, Mr. Speaker. And I The third bread of the Ministry of Infrastructure has been mandated to design and execute a road maintenance plan to reverse and prevent road deterioration. I applaud this, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I want to commend the Minister of Infrastructure. You see, Mr. Speaker, when I spoke the last time in this Honorable House, I spoke of my community of Debara and the residents there being so scared that they'll soon be cut off from Babylon. And I had rained because of the prayer warriors. It rained for a few days. The land slipped some more, Mr. Speaker. And I too became very concerned. And I spoke with the Minister for Infrastructure. And while I was on my way to Debara to see the situation, the Minister had spoken to his permanent secretary. Permanent secretary had spoken to the engineer. And while I couldn't be found in the constituency, they were up in Debara taking a look at the problem, Mr. Speaker. Two engineers, one technician on the road in Debara came back to give me a report, wrote their report, and now the minister was able to tell me the recommendation, Mr. Speaker. And they're ready to move. And this is what I speak to when we talk about caring for people. I want to speak to the people of Debara through you, Mr. Speaker, to say that do not panic. Help is on its way. This is what we talk about caring for people. And Mr. Speaker, as I go back to the road maintenance, it's very important. Just when I saw my constituency with the engineers from the Ministry of Infrastructure, I engaged them. Mr. Speaker, they have said to me the need for a road maintenance program. This sector. And I am nowhere close to being an engineer. But I respect the ideas, the advice shared by the consultants, the engineers attached to the ministry. You see, Mr. Speaker, one of my colleagues alluded to this problem, I think, just yesterday. I think it was the Minister for Infrastructure himself. When he spoke of ministers who ignore the advice of the experts within the ministry. Mr. Speaker, we have the engineers and our technical staff who have the knowledge, the skills, the years of experience. And when they say that something should or should not be done, we should take this seriously. But we have had past administrations, past ministers, immediate, who would not listen to the advice of the technical staff. And we have a lot of disasters. Financial, physical, as it pertains to roads, a lot. They would not listen, but they would threaten the technical staff because they want certain things done, Mr. Speaker. And that's unfortunate in this country. We must respect our well-educated, well-skilled staff that are within the public service. We can disagree, but it's okay to consult and to debate the issue, but not threaten their jobs and their livelihoods because they do not want to do what they know is wrong. It happened in my Babylon, see, I have this monstrosity in the middle of the road. Mr. Speaker, so post summer, we have some craters in the road, and I know the minister and his team will take care of it, and I thank them for the work they've done so far. Mr. Speaker, I want to move to the healthcare sector. And I want to thank the healthcare givers, providers of the public and private institutions who do great work on behalf of the people of Indonesia, who help us manage our health. Mr. Speaker, at my ministry, the Ministry of Health, Wellness, Human Services and Gender Relations, we are excited as we plan the reform for the health sector. Mr. Speaker, a lot is happening with the ministry. As we look to modern and efficient healthcare systems to deliver efficient and affordable healthcare services to all of the nation. Mr. Speaker, before I move, I need to respond to a query or concern expressed by the parliamentary rep from Miku North as it pertains to a healthcare facility in Miku. Mr. Speaker, I need to give you a little sequence as to what has happened and what brought Miku health facility or lack of where it is today. Mr. Speaker, you see, prior to 2006, during the Labour Party administration, they commenced the process of renovation on the Miku Health Center. The government of St. Lucia and an external funder put money down, equipment on site, work had commenced. 2006, Mr. Speaker, in comes the United Workers' Party administration in Miku, and the work was stalled. Somebody felt that the building was cracked and it was not sound. Again, I go back to trusting our experts. As a district rep, who are we to say that a building is unsafe? It's unsound. We speak to the technicians. We speak to the engineers. And so the work was discontinued. Also, that the wish was expressed for a polyclinic. So you see, Mr. Speaker, renovation started, it was stopped, and then there was desire for a polyclinic. And so the services were moved to the Tiroche Health Center. Then the services were returned to Miku in a building in the village of Miku. The partly renovated health center was later demolished, Mr. Speaker. Not by my ministry. Not by the ministry. It was demolished. Mr. Speaker, if Miku. Mr. Speaker, and therefore this is where we are today. However, like I've said before, Mr. Speaker, we will give consideration to erecting a health center in Miku for the people of Miku. As anything else, my government, this government, believes that every district or community should at least have a health facility. But Mr. Speaker, beyond that, we are looking at a new polyclinic for the January basement, and which will serve the community of Miku. And then we have St. Jude in the south with 106 beds. We're planning for a polyclinic in Denry. We will look at a health center in Miku. And then we have Victoria Hospital, and then the new National Hospital, of course, with 116 beds. So you see, Mr. Speaker, we are planning. We are responding to the needs of persons in every constituency, regardless of. So I just wanted to respond, Mr. Speaker, and say that within my ministry, we are very much aware of what has happened, but nonetheless, we'll continue to work for the people. Mr. Speaker, I just want to give you another plan by my ministry as it pertains to health care. The implementation of programs, initiatives, and policies. First, Mr. Speaker, as I said before, lots of things are happening in the ministry. St. Jude Hospital, and I take it from the Minister of Youth Development, who will soon leave the stadium. St. Jude's rising from the ashes. The 106-bed facility we're hoping to complete in August of this year, equipping, testing, and commissioning towards the third and fourth quarter. We hope and we work towards opening of St. Jude's Hospital this year. It will happen this year, Mr. Speaker. We will make it happen. Secondly, the new national hospital complex. We will use a statutory board to run this hospital, as well as the mental wellness center and the turning point facility. Mr. Speaker, as we speak of the mental wellness center, I'm sure, and just to remind you of the medical school in there, but Mr. Speaker, we are dealing with this situation in the right way. We are dealing with it. It was built, the plan by this government was for a wellness, mental wellness facility. There was no plan under this administration then to have a medical school in that facility. So we are going to deal with this situation, Mr. Speaker, but in the right way. To the new national complex, Mr. Speaker, 116 beds, 33 departments, funded by the European Union and the government of St. Lucia. And as you can see, Mr. Speaker, just yesterday, the team, the friends from the EU were here. They came to see the facility, and they are very happy. And they're anxious to see that we get moving and have training and preparing to move our people into the new facility. Not just the new facility, but adequate and efficient care, the service that we provide to the people. That's what matters. Pre-maintenance and maintenance of equipment and other bits and pieces within that hospital complex. This was started in 2009 and is due to completion December 2012. The government of St. Lucia, $32.4 million set aside for this. It will cost a lot, Mr. Speaker, to run this new facility. And so we look at equipping, testing, and commissioning of the new hospital in the second quarter of next year. Mr. Speaker, between these two facilities, St. Jude's Hospital and the new National Hospital, we look at a total of 332 beds, north and south. Of course, we're working with Supre as a hospital, which will add to this sector for our patients, Mr. Speaker. What is important, Mr. Speaker, is that we want to see the same standard of care across the board. What obtains at the new National Hospital will be at St. Jude. There will be some services being offered, quality care, the monitoring. It will be, we are nationalizing it, Mr. Speaker. We want the same to apply whether you are at St. Jude or at the new National Hospital. Mr. Speaker, we're also looking at converting the Victoria Hospital to the polyclinic to serve the Castries Basin, and of course, longer hours. Mr. Speaker, commissioning and moving on to the new National Hospital, it's not just moving people and moving equipment, but we're looking at increased staff. We're looking at training as well for our young doctors, our junior doctors. And Mr. Speaker, I wish to refer to it here. Over a third of our medical consultants have reached retirement age. This is increased to 50% of them within the next 5 to 10 years. Mr. Speaker, we currently have many recruited persons in consultant posts within the hospital, as we do not have local doctors who are trained in this specialty. So, Mr. Speaker, as a government, we have to begin to look at opportunities to train our junior doctors. We want them to be specialists in certain areas. It's an investment to know that we have specialists and they are our own. We know they can do it, Mr. Speaker, and so we will support them in this regard. Of course, in consultation with the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, apart from the new hospitals that we are looking at, we have plans and we are continuing to strengthen the primary health care facilities. It's important, Mr. Speaker. Persons need to know about the services being offered there. The medical clinic, where we have doctors every day in some clinics, from 8 to 4 p.m., and some 8 to 12:30. Antenatal and postnatal, free blood tests for pregnant women. Child care, immunization, hearing tests in certain clinics. Pharmacy services, pap smears for women, diabetes and hypertension counseling, all at our primary health care, at our health centers. Planned HIV testing, I repeat, planned HIV testing and counseling sessions go on at our facilities. Physical exercises, adolescent special services, especially in Babylon. Podiatry, food care, Mr. Speaker. And of course, we know under this estimate, we have made allocation for podiatry. I want to thank the Minister for Finance for this allocation. But of course, Mr. Speaker, we want all of our 8 health district regions to have one district medical officer who will work full time from 8 to 4 p.m. We do not yet have that, especially in Babylon. We have some 8 to 12:30. And it's a rush sometimes. And it can cause some stress for both our doctors and persons who come to access care. And so we need to begin to look into having a full-time district medical officer for District 2 or Region 2, which is the Babylon region. And so I continue to encourage our people in St. Lucia to access the services at the primary health care, at the health centers. There's a range happening there, and they need to access that instead of bypassing those facilities and going to Victoria and complaining about the long wait. You can get that care at the health center. Mr. Speaker, the nation awaits, holding its breath about UHC, universal health care. Mr. Speaker, in 3 months, this will come. We have started, restarted the process, and of course we do the research. We do not just run here and there and just get figures. We need to know because we have been asleep for 5 years, you understand. So we have to wake up a bit. And a lot has happened, and we need to look at the costing, the financing, and this is based on research. And after presentation by my very capable health team, we will look at how we are going to finance UHC, and of course, constant consultation with our Minister for Finance. I mean, we know we have implementation of RAP. All of these will come into UHC financing. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Health, we have appointed a task force, and they are very busy. Indeed, very busy. And they're already working through the development of intersectoral policy that will sustain health. One rep from agriculture, one from social transformation, one from education, youth development, and sports. The task force already has identified 4 tasks to begin working on. Child protection, rationalization of hospitals and community services, health information system, and tackling non-communicable diseases. And of course, the Minister for Youth Development and Sports is already working with the Ministry of Education, with the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Education is already working with us, and Ministry of Agriculture, as it pertains to, we have to implement this one banana a day in the school. This has to happen. We have the fruit, we eat what we grow, and grow what we eat. And so it's going to be a very healthy relationship. Mr. Speaker, the focus is prevention. And then we look at early intervention and then treatment. Exercise, diet. And I want to encourage the members here to set the program of with their constituents of working with your reps. Do something not only during campaign time that we should work. We should work with our constituents. Exercise, and I know the sports personality on my right from this one, retired. He retired, her? He's retired now, Mr. Speaker. We need our people to achieve health and wellness. Health promotion is the focus, and healthy nation. Life expectancy for persons in seclusion, males 74 and females 79. Mr. Speaker, this could be better. Why not males 75 and females 80, or everybody 80? We can do this. 90, like my dad, it's possible. Mr. Speaker, some of what I have articulated here have been addressed in this beautiful red book, Blueprint for Growth. Mr. Speaker, pages 37 to 38 and 39 spoke of the plan by this administration as it pertains to health care. Also, Mr. Speaker, the six major objectives here: efficient, well-managed public hospitals, dealing with non-communicable diseases, reducing health and reduced intake of salt, promoting fitness, physical activity, increasing the level of public awareness of the importance of healthy lifestyle.
Honourable Member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And so, Mr. Speaker, I ask all to refer again to this red book, pages 37 to 39. To read the plans of this government as it pertains to health and wellness. A healthy nation, it says, is a wealthy nation. And so, my ministry will not sit by, Mr. Speaker, and allow persons from the outside to harass, harm, threaten our health care providers. We will address this problem of security at our health facilities. But I have spoken to the nurses, Mr. Speaker, and they have expressed a concern about security at the health facilities. Persons who come in with weapons and do all sorts of things to threaten them while they're trying to give the best that they can to the people of Indonesia. Mr. Speaker, I repeat, UHC will come. And the Minister of Finance did mention that he will explore the possibility of supporting patients with hypertension. Now, when we started UHC, Mr. Speaker, it was medication for diabetics as well as persons with hypertension and diabetes. But persons who are hypertensive patients alone, the Prime Minister said he will explore that possibility. And of course, my team health, they are very excited just about the possibility that he will explore. And Mr. Speaker, may I say to the Minister of Finance, it all looks possible. All things are possible to those who trust in the Most High. And my very efficient staff, in their excitement, Mr. Speaker, went to do the research. And they're looking at what it will cost, or what it has cost, for hypertensive, anti-hypertensive drugs. And the figures are, for 2010, $675,190. 2011, $390,986. And we're talking about persons who access this medication at the health centers, polyclinics, and Victoria Hospital over the last 4 years. Yes, very much so, Mr. Speaker. Evidence-based. I can assure you, you can take this to the bank. So, Mr. Speaker, we are beginning to think about UHC. Maybe this would be part two, as we seek to present a wider basket of services, maybe cancer care. And of course, Mr. Speaker, there's so many ladies and gentlemen of Babano who wish to get that kind of support. But Mr. Speaker, as I speak about the Ministry of Health, I never want to forget the Department of Human Services and Gender Relations. Mr. Speaker, child abuse, domestic violence, elderly abuse, persons with disabilities, the abuse that they suffer impacts our society as a burden on the health sector. the strengthening of the Department of Gender Relations. You see, gender means male and female. And so we need a male officer. So allocations have been made and we're waiting that a well-capable, knowledgeable, well-skilled, talented young man or older man would be part of the staff at the Department of Gender Relations. Also to the home for battered women, Mr. Speaker, I have visited, and it needs some repairs. And I know financially we can't afford, but in time, Mr. Speaker, we'll see what we can do to bring some relief to the families who are residents at this home. And as I speak of families, Mr. Speaker, I want to, through you, extend Happy Mother's Day to the women, the mothers of this country. Mothers and guardians. Mr. Speaker, not only mothers, because it's not only Mother's Day, but it's Mothering Sunday. Because those who probably did not give birth to children, but they are mothering children. And I speak of the teachers, social workers, police officers, firemen, all those around this country who are mothering children. I want to extend to them happy and blessed Mother's Day on Sunday. And so, Mr. Speaker, as a ministry, we want to continue to strengthen our families, to strengthen our communities, make it safer. Mr. Speaker, as I said, I took this pledge to produce citizens from my constituency and elsewhere who can make meaningful contributions to our country. Persons who will get the knowledge, skills, and positive attitude, good values of honesty, dignity, discipline, integrity. It's pointless having someone who's very intelligent, yet can be a good thief. Mr. Speaker, this is not what we want in this country. Not as leaders and not as citizens. We need persons who are knowledgeable, well-skilled, and have good attitudes, good values. Because St. Lucia, we wanted to make it the fairest isle of all the earth. And the most important resource is our human resource. We want good, strong leaders, people who are empowered. And Mr. Speaker, I look forward to that day where we have persons with both the feminine and the masculine principle, good transformational leaders and citizens, feminine principles of the heart, feeling the pulse of the nation, empathy, compassion, and of course, the masculine principle of the head, thinking, critically analyzing, creative thinking, not those kinds of decisions that are being made haphazardly and costing us a fortune in this country. But we feel the pulse of the nation. We think before we act. And it's not about us. It's never about us, Mr. Speaker. It's about the people. We are on a mission to restore hope, confidence, and better days for the people of this country. Mr. Speaker, as I close, I wish to thank you for bringing some good order in this honorable house. I wish to thank also the men, women, youth, and children of Babano who continue to love, support, encourage, and of course, the critics and my colleagues there in this honorable house for their support. And Mr. Speaker, as I speak, I want to say to the people of Babano, I will walk with them to the promised land. I will see that better days, that realization of better days, better communities, better people, better production, better money, better everything being done in this country, better and stronger families, safer communities, and a strong nation. I want to register my support for the appropriation bill again. One more time to the women of Barbados, thank you for the support. Happy Mothers and Mothering Sunday to all. Thank you.